Mutual presents Manhattan Playhouse. Backstage at the Manhattan Playhouse in New York City, it's that moment of hushed expectancy before the curtain rises. There's a knock on the dressing room door.
Last call, Miss French.
Already?
Another knock.
Last call, Mr. Harvey.
Already.
The stars step into the wings and the curtain is going up. Tonight's play is a gay romantic incident entitled The Perfect Secretary, written by Leonard T. Holton. Our stars, Miss Peggy French and Mr. John Harvey. The stage is set. The time is late afternoon. The place, the private office of Mr. Eustace Throckmorton, an efficiency expert specializing in office management. Mr. Throckmorton is interviewing a very attractive young lady named Marcella Brown.
I'm afraid you're not quite what we're looking for, Miss Brown.
What's wrong, Mr. Throckmorton? I thought you said you liked my references.
Oh, I do, I do. As a matter of fact, your references are excellent.
Well,
you're undoubtedly an A number one secretary. But you must understand, the position I want to fill is a little unusual.
Oh, I'm sure I could handle it if you'd just let me try.
Well, it isn't altogether a matter of skill and experience, Miss Brown. To be quite blunt with you, your trouble is a physical one.
Physical?
Hmm.
You mean I'm not attractive enough?
Oh, on the contrary. You're too attractive.
Too attractive?
Exactly. You see, I've been engaged by a large corporation to make their organization function more efficiently. Mm-hmm. And one of my chief problems seems to be one of their most valuable executives. He's extremely capable. In fact, quite brilliant. But he has one terrible habit.
Well, what's that?
He falls in love with his secretary.
Oh, I see.
And it's so disconcerting, as you can readily appreciate. I'm a man in love. A man in love is never efficient. With his work, that is.
Oh, naturally not. And you think I'm the type he might fall in love with?
Precisely.
So, you have to find someone who's a good secretary and also has two heads.
Well, even that isn't quite the answer.
No?
If we give him a secretary who's too plain, he finds an excuse to discharge her.
Oh, if she's too plain, he fires her. Mm. And if she's too fancy, he falls in love with her.
Yes. He sort of has me coming and going. Mm. What I'm really hoping to find is a young lady who is sufficiently unattractive to keep him from falling in love with her, yet sufficiently clever to keep him from firing her.
Well, I don't know if I could keep him from firing me, but I'll bet I could make myself unattractive.
How do you mean?
Before I became a secretary, I was studying to be an actress.
Well, wait, that suggests a possibility.
Yes. Would you like to see me look cross-eyed?
Cross-eyed?
Like this. Look.
Oh, stop it.
You see what I mean?
Definitely. You almost frightened me right out of my wits. Was that you?
That was me. And I can do much better than that, too.
Oh, please, don't try.
No. I mean, I can thicken my eyebrows, change my makeup, comb my hair out sort of stringy, and wear steel-rimmed glasses.
Oh, how awful.
Yes, and I can wear sensible shoes and cotton stockings.
How do you plan to ride to his office? On a broomstick?
Well, you said I was too attractive. Well,
let us not overdo it.
Please, will you give me a chance at the job?
I think you've convinced me.
Good.
Now, I want you to understand the situation.
Mm-hmm.
As I said before, I have been engaged by this company as their counselor on efficiency. And therefore, they will take my suggestions. However, if in their opinion, my suggestions don't work out, they have the right to reject them. In other words, I have the authority to hire you. But Mr. Barton has the right to fire you.
Mr. Barton?
Mr. Alvin C. Barton.
Oh.
You'll be his secretary. He's young and attractive and always falls in love with his secretary. Now, we'll see how unattractive you can make yourself and how long you can hold the job.
Oh, I'll do my best. Oh, I mean my worst.
You'll report to his office tomorrow morning?
Oh, hi, Alvin.
Good morning, Ted.
Well, you look like you've lost your last friend.
Yeah, she was beautiful, too.
Huh?
Every time I get a secretary that doesn't hurt my eyes, she's transferred to our branch in Outer Mongolia.
You mean they've transferred Miss Dawn?
Yeah, she's gone.
Oh.
Out of my life forever.
And she was so beautiful.
And a marvelous secretary.
Yeah, you always said those hat check girls made the best secretary.
Never mind the crack. Maybe she was a hat check girl, but she was very ambitious.
And that stupid efficiency character had her sent away.
Yeah. Just when she was learning to type.
Well, now, that was very short-sighted. Who was going to replace it?
That's what I'm waiting to see. Mr. Throckmorton has probably hired another one of those fugitives from Halloween.
Hey, 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 hey. What? Don't look now, but here comes Throckmorton, and I think that's his mother with him.
You say it's his mother. I say it's my new secretary.
You don't mind if I leave?
No reason why we both should suffer.
Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Barton.
Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Throckmorton.
I'd like to present Miss Brown.
How do you do, Miss Brown?
How do you do, Mr. Barton?
Miss Brown is going to be your new secretary.
How nice. Won't you sit down, Miss Brown?
Thank you.
Suffice to say, Miss Brown comes to us highly recommended. She's thoroughly experienced, and she's had a wonderful background.
She has?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm sure we'll get along splendidly.
I'm sure you will. And now, I'll leave you to get to work.
Well, thanks, Mr. Throckmorton. Just close the door when you leave, and we'll sit here and get acquainted.
Good day, Mr. Barton.
Good day, Mr. Throckmorton. Well, wouldn't you like to hang up your things?
Thank you.
That's an interesting coat you're wearing.
It belonged to my grandmother.
No, it's right in style again.
Of course, it's a little large.
But it looks fine. Mm. Just be careful you don't trip over the sleeves.
This hat was hers, too.
Oh, is that a hat?
Mm.
I thought it was your lunch.
Grandmother was a little old-fashioned, even for her day.
Well, I like old-fashioned things. The girls these days are too modest. They get whistled at, and men insist on marrying them, and then they have children and have to have babysitters and all that. It gets so complicated.
Oh, I'm so glad you like the old-fashioned type, Mr. Barton.
Yes, I'll take the old-fashioned every time. I wish I had a couple right now.
Well, shall we get to work?
Work? Oh, yes, I, Miss Brown?
Hmm?
What's happened to your eyes?
My eyes?
Yeah. They just passed each other.
I should have told you. They do that sometimes. I'm a little cross-eyed.
A little cross-eyed? Do you ever find yourself eating off somebody else's plate?
My eyes do that very often.
They do. Speaking of eating, don't you think it's time you went to lunch?
Lunch? But I just got here.
Well, the restaurants in this neighborhood are very crowded. You have to get there very early.
But I just had breakfast.
Well, then take a bus ride or something. Crosstown. I just remembered I have some errands to do. I'll see you later.
Whatever you say, Mr. Barton.
Hey, where have you been, Alvin?
I have. I've just been down to the bookstore.
The bookstore?
Well, you saw that new secretary of mine, didn't you?
Why do you think I'm wearing dark glasses?
This I can't take. I've got to get rid of her. Now, I've got it all figured out.
You have? Mm-hmm. How are you going to do it?
I'll make her quit.
Huh?
I'll make her think I've got rocks in my head. I'll pretend I'm a daffodil.
Well, that ought to be easy.
I'm going to be all the crackpots she's ever heard of rolled into one. Now, that's where these books come in. I've been reading them.
Yeah, what are they? How to Land in a Butterfly Net in 6 Easy Lessons?
Yeah, practically. Here's one on numerology.
Numerology.
How numbers influence your destiny.
Oh, fine.
Here's one on hypochondria. The morbid condition of the mind which conjures up imaginary ailments.
You know, I had a grandfather once who always imagined he had a stiff neck.
Was he a hypochondriac?
No, he had a long beard and he was always sitting on it.
One of the Smith brothers. Well, you're now looking at public screwball number one. And if this doesn't work, I'll have you dress up in a little white suit and take me away.
Okay, I'll be pulling for you.
The curtain falls on Act One of the Manhattan Playhouse presentation entitled The Perfect Secretary, starring Peggy French and John Harvey. Our play will continue in just a moment. Alvin Barton has a bad habit of falling in love with a secretary. And Eustace Throckmorton, an efficiency expert, has engaged Marcella Brown to make herself unattractive. Actually, Marcella is quite pretty. But Alvin doesn't know it. And right now, he's planning to pretend he's a screwball, so Marcella will quit her job. As the curtain rises on Act Two,
Alvin is just entering his private office.
Well, Miss Brown, did you have a nice bus ride?
Oh, I stayed right here. Hmm. I thought I'd try to learn something about your work.
I'm sure you'll find it very simple. Sit down, Miss Brown.
Thank you.
Brown. Brown. Yes, yes, nice name. So unusual. What's your first name?
Marcella.
Marcella. How do you spell it?
M-A-R-C-E-L-L-A.
Let's see. Eight letters in Marcella and B-R-O-W-N. Five letters in Brown. That's 8 and 5. 13. Oh, that's terrible.
What's terrible, Mr. Barton?
13 letters in your name. That's bad luck. Oh, where's my book? What did I do with it?
Oh, what book are you talking about?
My numerology book. We've got to do something about your name.
What?
Let's see. Wait a minute. Here it is. 13. We'll see what it says. Oh, it's worse than I thought. Are you married?
No.
What happened to your husband? Did you shoot him?
No, I never had a husband.
Good. He would have been in his grave. You just saved some man's life by staying single. We'll have to change your name right away. It's our only chance. How about Francie?
I like my name the way it is.
It's too dangerous. It'll affect everyone who comes near you. They'll get sick and die. Where's my thermometer?
Thermometer?
I want to take my temperature.
But you look all right to me.
Oh, but you can't tell. It's really very subtle. Here it is. I can't take any chances. Now,
what'd you say? I'm sorry, but I didn't get it. Here, write it on this piece of paper.
Okay.
Don't get too close to me. Well, I'm very sorry, Mr. Barton. I didn't realize I was crowding you.
Wait till I read this thermometer. Well, you've caught this thing just in time.
What do you mean?
I'm still normal.
There must be something wrong with the thermometer.
But we'll just have time to change your name before something happens.
But I don't want to change my name.
We'll change it to Francine. Now, let's see. F-R-A-N-C-I-N-E. That's 8. And B-R-O-W-N. That's 5. And 5 and 8 are... Oh, no, that's 13 again.
Suppose I spell my name with one... My first name with one L. Mm. That will make only 12 letters in my name. Will that be all right?
12 letters. Well, let me see what the book says. It's better. It's not good, but it's not as bad as 13. You see, 12 divides equally into 6 and 6. And while people with a 6 in their name are very brilliant, the 6 means they have a 6th sense. It also means they have an equally divided nature. In other words, they have a split personality. Do you have a split personality?
Not with me.
It would be terrible if you turned out to be two entirely different people.
Yes, wouldn't it?
Yes. Well, at least split personalities aren't contagious.
Oh, then we don't have to have a quarantine sign on the door.
No. Hmm. And now that that's all settled, I'll tell you your duty.
Yes, Mr. Barton.
Now, Miss Brown, I don't want you to get the impression that I'm eccentric.
Oh, no.
Lots of men do things far more eccentric than I do.
Of course.
They won't eat oysters during months with an R in them.
Isn't that silly?
Yes, they walk around the table, just change their luck in a poker game.
You know, I knew a man who was so superstitious, he slipped on the ice and put a week's salary on the Iceman Thomas in the 6th at Belmont.
What's wrong with that?
Oh, you do things like that, too?
Every day.
Well, there's nothing really wrong with it, I suppose, except that...
Except what?
The Iceman didn't come up. He never even won it.
Neither did my horse. But names are very important. Now, about your duties. As I said before, you will find me very easy to get along with. All I ask is a little efficiency. Most of the girls I've had around here can't even take a letter properly. How's your shorthand?
I've never had any complaints.
Good. Do you have a notebook?
Yes, Mr. Barton.
Take a letter.
Yes, Mr. Barton.
Messrs. Wilson, Wilson, and Schnabel. I wonder who Schnabel is. Must be his son-in-law. Have you got that?
Messrs. Wilson, Wilson, and Schnabel.
Here's their address on their letterhead.
Yes, Mr. Barton.
Miss Brown, did you leave that door open?
Why, I guess I did. I'm sorry, Mr. Barton.
Don't you know better than to leave a door open? It makes a draft.
Well, I'll close it.
Oh, I could catch my death of cold.
I'll remember in the future, Mr. Barton.
Now, what did I do with my nose drops?
Hmm?
Well, here they are. Remember to see that these nose drops are right on my desk at all times.
Yes, Mr. Barton.
Now, let's continue. Messrs. Wilson, Wilson, and Schnabel. Oh, these drops are wonderful. I think you better start using them, Miss Brown.
Oh, I never have colds, Mr. Barton. I'm terribly healthy.
You shouldn't say that.
Why?
I had an uncle, Melville Barton. You see, 13 letters, just like you. Never had a day's sickness in his life. And then all of a sudden, he was my favorite uncle. Now will you read your notes back to me?
All you said is Mrs. Wilson, Wilson, and Schnabel.
Is that all I said?
Mm-hmm.
I must have said more than that. Seems to me I've been doing a great deal of talking.
You didn't want me to tell them about your uncle, did you?
No, of course not. We'll start all over again.
Yes, Mr. Barkey.
Messrs. Wilson, and Schnabel. When you go out to lunch, you better get yourself some of these nose drops. Gentlemen, in reply to your letter of the 13th instant... good heavens. Did they write to me on the 13th? I better call that to their attention. They probably didn't even realize it. Take this down.
Yes, Mr. Barton.
Gentlemen, may I request that in all future communications... Have you got that?
Yes, Mr. Barton.
Cross it out.
Yes, Mr. Barton.
Say, I would like to call your attention to the fact... No, don't say that.
No, Mr. Barton.
Say, while it is probably an oversight on your part, I feel it my duty to point out that... I don't like that either. Cross it out.
Yes, Mr. Barton.
What do you have left?
Nothing.
Nothing? Miss Brown, do you realize you're wasting time?
Yes, Mr. Barton.
Well, if you can't take a simple business letter, there must be something very wrong with you.
Mr. Barton, are you trying to tell me you don't like my work?
Well, I was merely trying to dictate a letter. You just don't seem to be able to get it.
Let's be honest, Mr. Barton. You've been putting on an act, hoping I'd quit, haven't you?
Who's been putting on an act?
I think you have. And if I don't quit, you'll find a reason to fire me, won't you?
How dare you! Fire is a very unpleasant word, Miss Brown.
Call it anything you like. But you'd like to get rid of me, wouldn't you?
Well, I... Of course, I'd have to give you a reasonable notice. Say 2 weeks.
2 weeks won't be necessary, Mr. Barton. All I want is 2 hours.
2 hours?
In 2 hours, I'll be back to say goodbye.
Yeah, but 2 hours...
I'll see you later, Mr. Barton.
And so the curtain rings down on Act Two of the Manhattan Playhouse offering The Perfect Secretary. Act Three will follow after a brief pause. Alvin Barton has been trying to get rid of his homely secretary, Marcella Brown. But the truth is, Marcella is far from homely. She's just gotten herself up that way. As the curtain rises on Act Three, Marcella is stopping into the office of the efficiency expert, Eustace Throckmorton.
Oh, who are you? I mean, hello, Miss Brown. What's happened?
Just as you warned me. Mr. Barton is trying to get rid of me, and I'm letting him.
You're letting him?
Yes, but I told him he'd have to give me 2 hours' notice.
Oh, my, but that spoils our whole plan.
He hasn't fired me yet.
What do you mean by that?
I mean, before he sees me again, I'm going to change my clothes and spend an hour at the beauty parlor.
But, Miss Brown, that's just what I don't want. Then he'll fall in love with you, and you know what that means. He'll become inefficient and neglect his work.
I think I can keep Mr. Barton from falling in love with me.
How can you possibly do that?
Don't forget that when I want to, I can be very cross-eyed. Remember?
Please, Miss Brown, please don't do that.
I'll let you know how I make out. Oh, pardon me, I thought this was Mr. Barton's office.
Oh, it is. Mr. Barton just stepped out.
Oh.
I'm Mr. Sawyer. Mm-hmm. I just dropped in to borrow a pipe cleaner. Is there anything I can do for you?
Oh, no, thank you. I'm his new secretary, Miss Brown.
Well, he must have found a new place to check his hat.
What do you mean?
Nothing. Did Mr. Barton just engage you?
Oh, no. I was engaged by Mr. Throckmorton.
Mr. Throck? Now, that I don't believe. Unless Throckmorton's having eye trouble.
Eye trouble?
Well, you're too attractive. He gets all his secretaries from under a rock.
Well, anyway, I am Mr. Barton's secretary, and I just started to work this morning.
This morning?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, you couldn't have. I saw the girl that came to work here this morning. Why, she was a... She had...
Go on.
Well, I think her last job must have been at the zoo, a babysitter in the armadillo house.
You're very flattering. That was me.
You? Mm-hmm. Oh, no. Tell me it isn't so. You're beautiful. No, there must be some mistake.
Oh, no. I'm the same girl. I just dropped in to say goodbye.
Goodbye?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, now, wait a minute. Can't we talk this over? How about dinner tonight? I'll get tickets for a show. After that, we'll go to the store club. You mustn't leave me.
I'm not leaving you, Mr. Sawyer. It's Mr. Barton who's firing me.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, but he mustn't fire you. He's out of his head.
I know that, but he's still firing me. Oh, you said yourself I looked like a babysitter in the armadillo house.
Well, you don't now.
Now, there's something very funny here. You're entirely different.
Look, do you mean you really didn't recognize me?
I still can't believe it.
That gives me an idea.
What?
When Mr. Barton comes in, I think I'll pretend I'm a different girl. Do you think I could get away with it?
Well, if you could fool me, you can fool him. I got a very good look at you this morning. I was leaving his office just as you were going in. I thought you were Throckmorton's mother.
Oh, that's perfect. When Mr. Barton comes in, don't say anything.
Okay.
Let me handle everything.
All right. Oh, here he comes now.
Good.
Well, hi, Fed. Oh, hello, Alvin.
Well, what's new?
New? Oh, nothing much.
Nothing much. Oh, that's funny. Seems to me there's something different around here.
Huh? Oh, well, I did move your chair a little bit when I reached into your drawer for a pipe cleaner.
That's not what I meant.
Huh? Well, maybe it's that picture on the wall. It's a little crooked. Shall I straighten it?
Never mind the picture.
All right. Shall we talk about the weather?
I'm not interested in the weather.
I hear they had some snow up in Alaska.
Who cares?
Well, the penguins probably enjoyed
it. Will you stop stalling?
Stalling? Me stalling?
Are you going to introduce me or aren't you?
Excuse me.
Yes.
Miss
Perkins.
Miss Perkins.
Perkins. Well, Miss Perkins, how do you do?
Miss Perkins, may I present Mr. Barton?
You certainly may.
So you're Mr. Barton.
That's right.
You know,
Alvin C.
Miss Brown told me so much about you.
Oh, really? Miss Brown? Who's Miss Brown? Oh, you know Miss Brown?
Yes, I hope I'm going to take her place.
You hope you're going to take... So do I. Hey, tell me more.
Well, she said you were going to make other arrangements.
Well, I certainly am.
So, I stopped in to tell you she wouldn't be back and see if I could, well, be of any help.
You just saved my life.
I don't know whether I'm what you're looking for or not.
You're what I've been looking for all my life.
But I realize I'm not as efficient looking as Miss Brown was.
That's what I like.
Oh, don't you think it's important to be efficient looking?
Well, it depends on whether you want a girl or a diesel engine.
Well, what about Miss Brown?
She was more of the diesel type. Is she a good friend of yours?
Oh, no. I just know her very slightly.
Oh, then I can speak freely. You remember Miss Brown, don't you, Ted?
Oh, yes, yes, very well.
Don't you think she looked like a diesel engine?
Well, I'd be more apt to whistle at the diesel engine.
Yes.
Oh, did you think she was as bad as all that?
Well, didn't you get a good look at her?
Well, she was sort of plain.
Plain? She's the type that ought to wear 24 veils.
24 veils?
Yeah. It'd be more fun hunting for her face than finding it.
I see. I can see you lean more toward the Lana Turner type.
Well, I lean toward them, but they keep pushing me back. Well, Miss Perkins, don't you think we ought to get to work? I'm sure Mr. Sawyer will excuse us.
Mm-hmm.
Won't you, Ted?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, and congratulations.
Congratulations?
Well, I mean, I think you've made a very good deal in getting Miss Perkins. I think she'll surprise you.
You're not kidding.
Neither are you.
Well, have fun.
We will.
So long.
Let me take your coat.
Thank you.
Ah, what a lovely coat. What a lovely dress. Mm-hmm. What a lovely... Your hair's nice, too.
Thank you, Mr. Barton.
Oh, can I help you into your chair?
Oh, I think I can make it.
Oh. Would you like a cigarette?
Mm-hmm.
A glass of water?
No.
A scotch and soda?
How about doing some work?
Work?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. Well, let's start with a letter. Here's Miss Brown's notebook and pencil.
Thank you.
Now then, this is a letter to Messrs. Wilson...
Schnabel.
Schnabel? How did you know that?
Oh, just a shot in the dark.
Oh. Well, Messrs. Wilson, and Schnabel.
Oh, just a minute.
What's the matter?
Mr. Sawyer forgot to close the doors.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it makes a draft. You might catch cold.
That's right.
I'll get you your nose drop.
Nose drop? How did you know about my nose drop?
I'm psychic.
Psychic?
Oh, all people with seven letters in their name are psychic. Perkins has seven letters.
How did we get into numerology? Did Miss Brown tell you about...
I told you I was psychic. And I also have a split personality.
A split personality?
Oh, absolutely. You see, my first name is Elsie Perkins. That's 12 letters, and that divides equally into 6 and 6, which means a divided nature, or split personality.
There's something very peculiar going on around here.
I'm not at all.
You've heard of split personality. Sometimes you're one person, and sometimes you're another. Now, sometimes I look the way I look now, and sometimes I look like this. Look at my eyes.
No. No, stop that. Stop it. Don't do
and
that.
And look at my hair. Sometimes it gets all stringy, like this.
Oh, no, please.
And sometimes I wear steel-rimmed glasses, like these.
Please, Miss Brown.
Wait a minute. You just called me Miss Brown.
You look exactly like her, even your voice. It's wait a minute. You are Miss Brown.
That's right. Are you still going to fire me?
Well, not if you promise to stop staring me to death.
It's a deal. If you'll promise me something.
What's that?
Well, Mr. Throckmorton says you have a bad habit of... Well, he says you sort of fall in love with your secretary, and then, well, she loses her job, and I need mine.
You know something?
What?
If I were married, I wouldn't fall in love with my secretary, would I?
Oh, but you're not married.
I know. But after I've dictated a few hundred letters, maybe we could talk about it. Take a letter.
Yes, Mr. Barton.
Manhattan Playhouse is under the direction of Win Wright. Heard in tonight's cast were Peggy French and John Harvey, starring as Miss Brown and Alvin Barton. Paul Ford was Eustace, and Jerry Hausner played Ted. The music was composed by Bob Monroe. The orchestra conducted by Sylvan Levin. Jack O'Reilly speaking. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.